Glad to see everybody here tonight. Build it according to the pattern. All right, this lesson is going to be a little bit different. And the reason a lesson like this is necessary is because there's many people in the church today saying that we don't have a pattern to follow. And we try and say, well, the Bible is the pattern we're supposed to follow. And, of course, they don't do it. There's a group of people, they call themselves non-patternists. In other words, they think when you establish a pattern, you're binding where God did not bind. And so they basically, we don't see and we don't recognize a pattern. Of course, these are the ones that promote women preachers. These are the ones that promote the instrumental music and worship. And, of course, exchanging pulpits with other denominations. And basically, they do what they want to do. And they can think they can get away with it because the Bible is not a pattern. But yet, if we look at it, we find out the Bible is a pattern. And so this is based on a passage in Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Now, Hebrews 8, well, I did have it. Anyway, it's basically talking about Moses, how God instructed Moses, see to it that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. And so when Moses came down with the law, the Ten Commandments, and it was time to build the Ark of the Covenant, God had shown him what he wanted. He showed him a picture in Moses' mind, and so when Moses came back, he explained, this is exactly how we're going to build it. We're going to build it exactly how God tells us to build it. So, what is a pattern? What happens when a pattern is changed? I mean, let's face it. And what if everyone involved decides to make changes on their own? And what if only one person made a change to the pattern? Well, let's look at this. See, a pattern to a builder is a blueprint. Now, somebody comes along and says, well, I think it ought to be this way. And they change something. What's going to happen to the rest of the house? Al could tell you that. He's built houses before. He's inspected houses before. He can tell you if somebody decides to change something, something's not going to work right, the house is going to collapse, or it's going to cause other problems. And then to a seamstress, a pattern is what they follow. And they follow the specifications. And if they decide, well, I want it 3 yards instead of 2 yards, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to be too big. And so those who do that know what would happen if you change the pattern. You're not going to get what you want. And then to a manufacturer, a pattern is a guideline. It tells them. And, of course, the government has already established the Bureau of Standards of Weights and Measures. In other words, everything's got to be able to do. So when you go to Home Depot and buy a bolt, you can go to Lowe's and buy a nut, and they would work like they're supposed to, work together, because they have certain standards. And then depending on what they're doing, there's machine bolts, and then there's other types of bolts. And so, yes, and of course, look at all our technology. Technology changing all the time. But guess what? You can go to any store practically and buy a charger for your phone, right? Yeah, you can do that because there is a standard that has established guidelines. The whole world uses those things. And so if you happen to be over in another country, I need to charge my phone, guess what? They plug in an electrical source, and it charges your phone. So it is a guideline. And if somebody decides, well, we want to change this, I mean, what's going to happen? And then in the field of sports, it is a rule book. There are certain rules they need to follow. That's why on the field they have umpires. That's why on the field they have referees, to make sure everybody is competing according to the rules. And even the Bible talks about that. When all run in a race, but we must, if you're going to win, you got to win according to the rules. You can't jump in like some people have tried doing the marathon, jump. They start the race, and they catch a cab down to near the end of the race and jump in the line and, hey, look at me, I'm a good runner. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. There's rules to follow. And, of course, when we think about it, our Bible is exactly that. Our Bible is a pattern. It is a rule book. It is a guideline for us. And it is really the blueprint of God's salvation. Now, what is a divine pattern? Of course, whenever you put in the word divine, you're talking about deity. We're talking about God. And so, it's same as the others. It's still a blueprint. It's still a pattern. It's still a guideline. It's still a rule book. And it's still an example. It is something that tells us what we need to be doing in order to be pleasing to God. And it cannot be changed or altered in any way without consequences. See, people change things all the time, but there's going to be consequences about it. And so sometimes it causes problems. Some people have died because somebody decided to make a change and didn't tell anybody. And so it does happen. And there's always going to be consequences. Now, when we take God's rules and decide to change them, yes, there's going to be consequences to that. And of course, they may not find out until the day of judgment when they stand before God. They will find out then that there are consequences to our actions. And so the result of following the pattern will give us what the Creator willed for us to do. And that's what we need to learn about this. When we learn about the Bible, that's why we emphasize reading and studying the Bible. Because this is God's will. This is His direction for us. These are His commandments. And we need to be able to follow them if we want to be pleasing to God. It's also something we may want to avoid. There's certain things. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of commands in here. And a lot of them says, do not. Or be not this type of person or this type of attitude. And so there's a lot of commands that says don't do it. And if we decide, well, we're going to do it anyway, I mean, that's a violation of the rules, violation of God's commands. And that will not be good. So it tells us things we need to avoid. All right, the divine pattern. It comes from God. That's plain and simple. The best way of saying it, it comes from God. And so we see in 2 Corinthians 2, 11 and 12, all this which God gave mankind came from the mind of God. It did not originate with man. And man didn't come up with this plan about the faith and the belief and repentance and baptism and confession. Man didn't come up with that. God came up with that. And so the divine pattern, what God wants us to do, whether it's the plan of salvation or whether it's our church and the operation of our church, it's a pattern that comes from God. And there, Jeremiah 10:23 tells us it's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. In other words, I mean, in this life, we manage to get through pretty well. We manage to make it on our own most of the time. But when it comes to following God's pattern, we can't do it on our own. We can't do our own thing. We've got to do what God tells us to do. And then Proverbs 16:25 tells us there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so we must be aware of that. Now, God showed Moses the pattern, and Moses built it according to the pattern. Now, how he did it, we're not given that information. God showed him, said, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to build it. Here's the material I want you to make it out of. And you're supposed to take the acacia wood. And you're supposed to cut these dimensions and this size. You're going to overlay it with gold. And you're supposed to put loops on the side so they can put the poles through so they can carry it. I mean, God gave him that thing and showed him how to do it. So when Moses came down, now whether he sat down and made notes, I don't know. We're not told that information. And whether he sat down and drew out for the artisans to figure out, I don't know. But somehow, some way, the Ark of the Covenant was built. It was built the way God specified it to be built. And so, in the instructions, Exodus 25, 8, 9, and verse 40, God says, here's the pattern I want you to follow. Here's what I want you to do. And then Hebrews 8, 5 reminds us to build it according to the pattern that He showed us. Now, in this divine pattern, David gave Solomon the plans for the temple. Remember, David had plans on building the temple, and he wanted to build God a house in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He comes up to the question, well, God, I built my own house. I have a palace here. I've got a city here with walls around it. Why won't you let me build you a house? And God says, well, I don't need a house. I don't need to dwell in a temple. But because you're a man of war, I'm not going to let you do it. You let your son Solomon build my temple. So what did David do? He gathered the material. He went and bargained with all the other leaders so he could get supplies to come in so that Solomon could build the temple. And God and David gave Solomon, here's the plans. It's kind of like he sat down and drew out the whole blueprint and told Solomon this is exactly how it's supposed to be built. And David warned Solomon, don't change a thing. This is the way God wants it. Do not change a thing. And so we can read that in 1 Chronicles 28, and that's what he did. Now, when we think about the divine pattern, we also have to consider doctrine. How many different doctrines are out there? Thousands upon thousands of doctrines. Now, if they all went to the Bible and taught just the Bible, how many doctrines would there be around? Just the one. Actually, I guess we could say two, the true doctrine and the false doctrine. I mean, so anything that doesn't follow the true doctrine is a false doctrine. And there's thousands of those. See Acts 2:42, the apostles' doctrine. The apostles started teaching on the day of Pentecost. And then following shortly after, they were all baptized and they continued daily, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then we're told, mark those who do not follow the apostles' doctrine. We're told that in Romans 16, 17, 18, talking about these people who teach error. They're basically very selfish, trying to fill up their own belly, but yet they destroy the faith of others. And so we got to mark those that cause offense. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:6, you got to mark them who are of you that are walking disorderly. And so we can surmise from this that if you walk disorderly according to what God has said, then you're violating the pattern. And that's what we're doing. All right, so the seed of the divine pattern. And of course, we're going to talk about seed for just a moment. We read about seed there in Genesis chapter 1. And it's God's law. The seed bearing after its kind. You know, when he set up the law. And everything he did, he said the night, the darkness would be night and the light would be day. And he separated the waters. He put the plants on there with seed bearing after their kind. And so we understand that principle. And so we understand why if you plant a kernel of corn, you're not going to get tomatoes. You're going to get corn. Everybody understands that. In fact, all of this stuff, whether it's a blueprint, whether it's a pattern, whether it's a guideline or a rule book, everybody understands that until you get to the realm of religion. Then all of a sudden, it seems like anything goes with these people. See, the seed is the word of God. In Matthew 13, when Jesus talked the parable of soils, he said the sower went out to sow. Was he very selective in where he scattered his seed? No. He just scattered the seed. And really, then it was up to other factors to produce crops there. But we understand, you plant the same seed from the beginning of the church, what established the church, the doctrine, you're going to get the same church. So if you teach the word of God, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get the church the way God designed it. You know, Paul talked of planting the seed of the church, and God gives the increase. He says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Now, in Hebrews, when the writer's talking about this, how Moses was told to build all things according to the pattern, that was for the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and then, of course, David gave the rules to Solomon how to build the temple, and, of course, it talked about it, and it was the same kind of like design, just like the tabernacle. There was the outer court, there was the inner court, there was the holy place, and then the most holy place. They were all there. When it comes to the church, it's still no different. We still have to follow the pattern that God has given us. When you look at the state of churches today, the thousands of denominations, they're all doing their own thing. So what do? They have to somehow compromise themselves in such a way, saying, well, it's all right, God's going to accept it anyway. When we have the Bible telling us what God is going to accept, and people doing otherwise, they're going to find out one of these days. They're going to find out on Judgment Day just how bad it is. And all these people who have been following them basically haven't really investigated the Bible enough to see that that's not right. The name of the church. Thousands of names out there. But you know what? The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And that's what we should be called. We should be called Christians. We shouldn't go by any other name like Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or anything like that. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. That's what the church should be named, the name of Christ. And that's what it should be, the foundation. No other foundation under heaven given by which one should be saved. 1 Corinthians 3:11. And that's what? Because Jesus said, I will build my church. I'm not going to build Martin Luther's church. I'm not going to build John Calvin's church. I'm not going to build the Catholic church. I'm not going to build, let's face it, today, we'd be here a long time if I tried to go through all of them, wouldn't we? So, we're just going to say anything other than the church designated for the Son, Jesus Christ, it's a false church. It's just not right. Then, of course, there's law. We have to be mindful. You know, when Paul was speaking there in 1 Corinthians 14:37, he put this challenge out there. In fact, I have it here. He said, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. So he put this challenge out there. If you don't think this is coming direct from God, you have a responsibility to speak up. See, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration. And what it's profitable for. And why? So that we can be right in the sight of God. Thoroughly furnished for every good work. And then, of course, the membership. What do? When they were told to be baptized for the remission of their sins, repent and be baptized, we find that 3,000 souls did that first day. And verse 47, the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. And so, membership in the church are of those who are saved. Galatians 3:26-27 talks about the fact we are brought into Christ. And when we were going through our lessons on the New Testament church, this is one of the points we made, that the only way to get into Christ is through baptism. And so that's how our membership comes about. Some people want to go and say, I want to join your church. I mean, if they haven't been baptized, they don't have a right to join the church. In fact, the Lord adds people to the church. People just don't join. All right. The organization of the church, yes, it is established. It is set up. At the beginning, they had the apostles to give the guidance. And we find that in Acts 14 and Acts chapter 15. When questions and disputes arose, they would go and take it to the apostles and say, listen, we need a judgment on this. We got everybody out here with their own opinions about this. We need to hear it from you. Why? Because you are apostles of Jesus Christ and you have the authority. And that's what they did. And so that's why they decided that Gentiles do not need to be circumcised if they want to go to heaven. And so we have that. In Philippians 1:1, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, to the elders and the deacons and the saints, mentioning all three of them. And then Ephesians 4:11 starts off, in the beginning he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors. And so the early church had the guidance, divine guidance of that. And then, of course, it was all written down for us, and we have it written in the Word of God. So we have that divine guidance in our possession. Our worship. Yes, the command we're supposed to do. Follow the apostles' doctrine and their teaching. We're to sing one another. And then we're to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And we lay by in store on the first day of the week. So the worship is already established. And of course, when it comes to church discipline, yes, there's guidelines, there's parameters on this. Matthew 18, Jesus talking about this. This is what happens. You go to your brother who has offended you, and you work it out. If you can't work it out, you take a witness. And then if he won't listen, then you bring it before the church. That is church discipline. 1 Corinthians 5, the one who had his father's wife, says, you guys are tolerating this. That's a no-no. This is sinful. The whole world knows it's sinful, and yet you're tolerating it. Do not do that. In Revelation 2, some of you have gone the ways of Balaam and certain others that you're just not living right. So we have to be dealt with. Now, we can either deal with it here in this life, or we can wait until we get to judgment. But then it's too late to make any corrections when it comes to judgment. So we better hope that we do things right here and now. And then, of course, the love of the brethren, as we've been studying on Sunday morning. I mean, love one another. This is the basic foundation. Love is from God. And so we should love the brethren, as 1 Peter 1:22, love them fervently to the best of our ability. And to be considerate of them. And not only that, but we're supposed to pray for them. And then so Jesus gave that new command I give you, that you love one another. I mean, it's all very simple. We do things the way God tells us to do. We have a good chance of being right. But when we start deciding we're going to make changes and do things differently from what God specified, then we run a danger. See, we could talk a long time about what is not following the pattern given to us in God's Word. And all we have to do is look at the denominations, look at the very liberal brethren in the church, and see that they're doing things. A lot of things that they're doing is just an imitation of what the denominations are already doing. See, 2 Timothy 1:13 tells us that we need to follow the pattern of sound words. This is what Paul instructed Timothy to do, and he gave Titus a similar instruction. We must be faithful to follow the pattern that is given to us. We must do this if we want to go to heaven. See, Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord built the house, they that built it labor in vain. It's a lot of wasteful time for these people who are building their Baptist churches, their community churches, their Bible churches, and whatever is out there. If they're not following God's pattern, it's not doing any good. They're worshiping in vain. So maybe you know somebody who is part of one of these groups. Just ask them if they believe in the pattern of the New Testament. Do they believe in the pattern of sound words? They need to. Otherwise, they run the risk of not being allowed into heaven. If we care about their souls, we will bring it up. So we must do that. So consider those thoughts. Following the pattern that God gave us. That's why we need to do this. Speak where the Bible speaks. Silent word is silent. We've used that phrase for many years. And yet it's still a good phrase. It's a good one to follow. So consider that. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.